because it gives me an opportunity to clarify what H.R. 40 is. H.R. 40 is the commission to study slavery that has not been done and to develop reparation proposals. It does not give answers before the commission is set up. And that's why I think it's so very important for the American people to understand that this commission brings about restoration and healing. All those questions will have to be assessed as we go through the study process, the process that will assess why there are such extreme disparities in the African-American communities in healthcare, in science, in psychology, in education, in wealth. The wealth gap is enormous between white Americans and African-Americans. The questions of any amount or any assessment really is premature. The question has to be, what has the issue of 246 years of slavery done to the African-American community? What has it done in regards to their impact through the transatlantic slave trade, through the Caribbean, through the continent of Africa? All of that has to be studied for us to make intelligent decisions. And what I'd like to convince the American public is that America will be better for one seeking healing and restoration and repair. The world will be much impressed that America stops for a moment the champion of human rights, as evidenced by our fight against China's treatment of the persons in their nation, the Muslims in their nations, the Uyghurs. They will be much impressed that we are concerned about repairing. That will be the statement that will be made if we pass H.R. 40, the Commission to Study Slavery and Develop Reparation Proposals.
You know, H.R. 40 establishes this panel to make recommendations, and yet it's been 10 months since the House committee voted to advance H.R. 40. I mean, it's really kind of a first step. It's not even what those measures will be determined will look like. Why has there been such a delay in getting a full vote in the House?
Well, first of all, I'm very glad that 216 of my colleagues are co-sponsors. But you're right. Emphasis now is why we can't wait. And that's why we're excited that over 350 organizations, from the Anti-Defamation League, the Children's Defense Fund, to the association dealing with Asian Pacific Islanders, the Children's Defense Fund, the Episcopal Church, and many others have said that we cannot wait. And so it is important to note that we're not waiting, and we're engaged in negotiations to move this bill forward. We will see in the next coming days and weeks action on H.R. 40 because those who have participated in meetings, those who participate in the markup, members of Congress, all see that this is an important step. And isn't it interesting that these discussions have ramped up in the month that we commemorate Black History Month? But we will see action because it is now is the time. And that action will give us a very prominently based commission of members who will have the opportunity to hold hearings across the nation, hearing supporters and those who have a different perspective. And out of that will come the opportunity for an amazing array of designed responses and a response to the devastation of slavery of 246 years.
Now, tell me about the lobbying for this bill. I mean, where are you finding success, and how confident are you that it could be brought to a vote sometime this year and eventually pass? I mean, what are the conversations that you've been having, and where do you find that people will, I guess, listen and support what you're proposing?
I think the best conversation we're having is about restoration and repair. To look at, we're the only population in the United States that were slaves. Slavery, of course, was abolished in the United States by the 13th Amendment. We still fight slavery around the world. But the fact that there were people who, African Americans, those who came as slaves and remained as slaves, they were born, they lived, and they died as slaves. And so it is evident that we are unique in this country. And it's even more evident as we've seen the ugly head of racism raise its head over the last year, or a couple of years, because of the leadership, unfortunately, of the last president, who has created a divide, wanted to bring tension, evidenced by January 6th, where black officers were called names by the so-called patriots, but who were insurrectionists and terrorists. And think people are tired of that. They're tired of the bomb threats that are being called against HBCUs. They're tired against the anti-Semitism that's happening around the nation. They want healing, and H.R. 40 is a form of healing and answering questions and determining why there's such an enormous wealth gap, why racism still exists, why the Voting Rights Act couldn't be passed, why we're still working to get the George Floyd police reform bill. All this ties in to disparities in how African Americans are treated. The NFL comes to mind. So I think that when I speak to people about healing, restoring, and fixing, which is repairing, they open their minds. It is not about accusing people who are just here. It is historically looking at the record why we're in the condition we're in today, looking at the record why the wealth gap is $13,000 for $13,000 for a family of four for African Americans to $165,000 for a family, a white family. Those numbers are stark, $13,000 to $15,000. Those numbers are stark. And so what we can do with this commission is make great change through information and facts. I look forward to change coming from information and facts. So we're not jumping to conclusion. We're going to study it, and not for a long period of time. We're going to reach out across the nation. We're going to hear different voices, and then we're going to assess what African Americans have said all along, that slavery has never been responded to. We've never been addressed. We've not even gotten an apology, and I think it's long overdue. That's why we're saying why we can't wait, and 350 organizations are urging action on H.R. 40 now.
As you mentioned, there seems to be just an emergence of actual, you know, violence and threats. There's so much division. And I mean, we're living at a time where there's even opposition to teaching the history of racist oppression in our schools. When you hear from people who say things like, you know, nobody is alive today is responsible for slavery, or who deny systemic racism, I mean, even within Congress, how do you educate them? Like, how do you, you know, convey this message of the urgency of, instead of removing it from the books and from education, to actually educating America on it?
Well, first, I try as gently as possible to tell them that they're totally misinterpreting what the critical race theory is, which is not being taught to Johnny or Mary in kindergarten or second grade or fourth grade or middle school or even high school. Obviously, critical race theory by its very name is an academic approach to analyzing racism in colleges and higher degrees and people in graduate school. I don't think that anyone should shun learning of everyone's history, whether you're a Native American or whether you've come from a country through Europe or South and Central America or Africa or any other place. The history of this very diverse nation is so very important, and African American history is very important. And the names like W. Du Bois and George Washington Carver are very important, and Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King are very important. But the way I speak to people who want to suggest that they had nothing to do with slavery, I will say to them, but you are direct beneficiaries of the work of slaves. Slavery made this nation the nation that it is today in terms of wealth. We built, when I say that, my ancestors, descendants of free slaves who live today, are individuals who in fact help to create the wealth through the transatlantic slave trade. We built the banks of the East Coast. We made cotton king, and that money has translated through. In addition, when African Americans who were slaves were freed by the 13th Amendment, there was an attempt to provide them 40 acres and a mule. That was realistic. But because of the election of a president after the assassination of a President Lincoln, it did not follow through. And so there was never even a response to the idea of living in slavery with no workman's comp, no salary, no insurance, no health care for 246 years. The country benefited by that labor, and the labor built this nation. Slaves built the White House. Slaves built the United States Capitol. There's much that the nation benefited from. So whether or not individuals held slaves, they were the beneficiary of slavery. How sad. It is America's original sin, and absolutely it must be responded to. And I'm very grateful that these extensive organizations, widespread religious groups, rabbinical groups in particular, corporate groups, nonprofits have come together to say that now is the time to heal America from its original sin, to understand what slavery did to this country in the country being able to be built on that work and grow that wealth, and how we address that very question.
And in the name, it's honoring that unfulfilled promise, 40 acres and a mule, H.R. 40. Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Tijuana, Mexico has one of the highest murder rates on the planet.
Oh.